It's anything you ever wanted to know from KERA 90.1 in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Our email address is anything at kera.org. And that's where we got these questions that we'll start off with this week. From Chris in Plano, why do non-American English speakers, the UK, Australia, etc., often not use the word "the" when referencing things like the hospital or the university? Chris says it's most notable in movies, but even on BBC America, the hosts often say things like "so-and-so was taken from the accident to hospital," or "Bruce will leave for university in 2 weeks. Chris says, "I've noticed they don't always do this, just when speaking about specific things, most obvious, hospitals and universities. Why and what's correct?" With the Olympic torch relay being in the news recently, this is from David in Dallas. David says, "I was wondering how they transport the flame in an airplane. What safety steps are performed?" He says, "I would think it would be relatively risky to have an open torch in the flight cabin. Anybody have any ideas?" 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Kurt in Bedford writes, "Please ask your listeners about some strange rectangular plate-like antennas that I've been seeing on poles beside the highway. He says they're approximately 12 inches square, angled toward the roadway, and sometimes appear with highway cameras or on poles with solar panels. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. And let's start with Sue in Springtown. Hello, Sue.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
I have wrought iron railings on my porch, and they get extremely hot in the summertime. And I was wondering if somebody had a suggestion as to, something I can put on them.
Like a paint or a spray or?
What
do you think? You want them to look the same, right?
Well, I don't care about cosmetic. It's just, I have to use them to get up and down the stairs, so, burn the heck out of my hands.
Right.
And so, like I said, I don't care about the cosmetic.
Okay.
But I also have another question, if possible.
Okay.
I am trying to, is there a certain ratio, water per sugar or whatever, to mix up hummingbird nectar for your hummingbird feeder?
Someone will know.
Yeah.
All right.
Hope so.
Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Okay, thank
All right.
you.
Thanks. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Virginia in Plano. Hello, Virginia.
Yes, hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm wondering if anyone has a suggestion where to get a good price for gold jewelry. I find that if you go to these places that advertise they buy gold, they give you pennies for it, pennies
right.
on the dollar.
So like old gold jewelry that you're not wearing?
Yeah, for example, a good bracelet that might cost $1,500, you go to one of these places and they give you $130 for it.
Right. Well, we'll ask and see if we get an answer for you.
Thank you very
much. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. And great stack of email questions this week. Angela in Fort Worth says, this is my first question to ever ask. And Angela asks, where did the word "chalked full" come from? It doesn't make sense. Well, I think, and she writes, this is from last week. Jeff just used this phrase. I think I said chock full. And I did look up chock full right here. I've got the Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary 11th edition. And it says chock full or chock full, full to the limit. But it doesn't say where it came from. So maybe someone knows where chock full originated, C-H-O-C-K hyphen F-U-L-L or C-H-O-C-K-F-U-L. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us anything at kera.org. And I don't know what this means, but Ashley is hoping that someone in Dallas can send in the recipe for Marty's, formerly on Oak Lawn, Marty's chicken salad recipe. I guess it was a restaurant. I thought she's just someone named Marty who made chicken salad. But if you can help find for Ashley Marty's chicken salad recipe, send it to us, anything at KERA.org. Oh, and this is from Rush, who says, I listen to the program via podcast from Lawrence, Kansas. Thanks, Rush. My question is this. What exactly can be recycled, Rush writes? For instance, I know plastic bottles can be, but what about paper plates, plasticware, Nalgene bottles, napkins, paper to go boxes, plastic grocery store type bags, et cetera, et cetera? Also, can all these items be put in a recycling bin and brought to a location where they can sort it out? If there's one in Dallas, I'm hopeful that there's one in the Lawrence, Kansas area as well. Well, that's why we do the show. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email us, anything at kera.org. Let's talk to David in Azle. Hello, David.
Hey.
Yes, go right ahead.
I have an answer for the hummingbird feeder ratio, okay, which is 4 to 1, 4 parts water, 1 part sugar.
So it's 25% sugar.
That's correct.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Up next at 800-933-5372 is Eric in Arlington. Hello, Eric.
Hi. I always hear in the news Vladimir Putin's party referred to as pro-Kremlin. I was just wondering what pro-Kremlin meant.
Okay. Well, let's ask and see. Is that what you that's the name of the party?
Oh no, I think it's called Russia United, but they refer to it as pro Kremlin.
Oh, okay. So what is pro?
I guess it's some attribute of it.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Well, you know, for the under communist rule, the Kremlin obviously was the seat of the power in Moscow. It's sort of the government compound in Moscow. Uh-huh. But maybe there's, you know, maybe there's a, we'll see if we get an answer.
All right,
we'll get some opinions
much
on it. Thanks very much.
Bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email always open, anything at kera.org. Last week, we had this question about the speed of gravity. And Dean wrote us and said, I think you and the answerer misinterpreted the question. It's quite possible, especially on my part. The questioner, he says, didn't ask what was the strength of gravity, or I guess what we were answering was the speed of acceleration, or what is acceleration due to gravity. He says he asked how fast gravity as a field propagates through space. For example, if a sufficiently large mass suddenly materialized, how soon would other masses experience attraction to that new mass? And how quickly does this new mass's gravity field propagate through space? Okay, so we got a lot of answers on this, actually. And one, which is very, very lengthy, is from Mark in Center Hall, Pennsylvania, who listens exclusively via podcast. He says, I do have a master's degree in physics and spent 2 years in the field of general relativity. He says, to be certain, no one knows the speed of gravity for sure. Most scientists, as I do, subscribe to general relativity as the theory that describes gravitational interactions. This theory assumes, he says, that gravitational information travels at the speed of light. This assumption comes from the fact that special relativity puts a speed limit on light. For example, if the sun were to instantly disappear, we would not realize it for 8 minutes due to the fact that it takes light 8 minutes to reach us. No exceptions have been found, and that is compelling to some physicists. He continues, the theory would still work if the speed of light and gravity were different, but so far, observations dictate they are the same. He goes on to say that gravitational waves are predicted phenomena that physicists think are produced by very fast-moving massive objects. These are actual ripples in the fabric of space-time, not like light, which is a wave that travels through space-time. He says these waves have been indirectly observed by watching massive stars orbit each other. As they orbit, some of the space-time around them gets pulled along with the stars. Relativity predicts that some of the gravitational energy is radiated away by gravitational waves, and therefore the system loses energy, and the two stars slowly fall toward each other. He says, when the stars finally in spiral toward each other, the wave signal should grow until they emerge or explode, depending on the situation. And he says the Laser Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory, there's one in Louisiana and one in Washington, is a facility which is attempting to measure these tiny waves as they pass by our Earth. It says they are very small waves and have an amplitude on the order of 10 to the minus 21 centimeters or smaller. Observing these waves will further help us narrow down a fundamental speed of gravity, as well as open new eyes on observing the universe. Thanks very much, Mark. 800-933-5372 is the email address, and let's talk. I'm sorry, that's the phone number. Let's talk next to Kim in Mesquite. Hello, Kim. Are you there, Kim?
Hi. My mom had the same problem with her porch railings, and we got some of that light-colored foam pipe wrap, 1 inch, and put it right over the rails, and it works great.
Very good. And did you use the self-adhesive kind, or did you get the kind that...
self-adhesive.
Very good. Thanks, Kim.
You're welcome.
All right. Up next is Dana in Fort Worth. Hello, Dana.
Hello.
Yes, go right ahead.
I believe I have an answer. I was listening to a story on KEA a couple weeks ago about how they transported the Olympic torch.
Uh-huh.
And apparently what they do is light several different lanterns. I'm not sure. They didn't mention if they were oil lamps or what kind of lamps they were, but they actually, put out the torch itself and then just transport the original light in these lamps, in the lanterns.
Okay, so it's not someone sitting or jogging in place on the jetliner
exactly,
with a
which is what I was
open flame.
Well.
In their hand.
Yes, that would be quite dangerous. Yeah, but yeah, it's apparently in these lamps, so it's the original light.
Okay,
but not the original torch light.
It's kind of fun to think about, though.
It is.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Right. Up next is Greer in Farmers Branch. Hello, Greer.
Hello. I have a quick question about presidential elections.
Okay.
Nowadays, when we vote for a president, the vice president is already on the ticket. We don't have to vote for that separately.
Right.
But that used to not be the case. We used to vote for the president and vice president separately. And I was wondering when that changed and why it changed.
I think originally, and I'm sure people are poised to pick up the phone and correct me, and please do, at 1-800-933-5372. I think originally the vice president was the second place, was the runner-up back at the beginning of the United States of America. And often, sometimes, they were of opposing parties.
Right.
And then that all changed, and I'm looking around for the pocket constitution, and I can't find it, and I'll look for it during the break. But I'm sure we'll get an answer for you.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Email, always open, anything at kera.org. Up next is Kendall in Fort Worth. Hello, Kendall.
Hi. I was actually calling about the Olympic torch question,
sure.
But I just heard a caller nail it right on the head. In fact, she's right. They do light a lantern when they initially light the Olympic torch or the Olympic flame, and that way if a torch is dropped or extinguished, anything happens to it in a relay, they have the ability to relight it. And, of course, that's also how they transport it across the seas in an airplane and kind of thing. But the previous caller was right on the money.
Have you seen the lantern? What does it look like?
I would love to have seen the lantern, but I have not. I've been watching all of the news on, of course, all of the political things and action that's been going on with the torch relay. That was, of course, a question that kept coming up is, what would happen if the lantern went out or the torch went out if a protester actually managed to disrupt the relay.
And right.
So that was a topic that had been discussed in some of the news reports I had read.
Well, and you know, every time, every Olympics or every Olympiad, I guess, to be correct, they make a new torch. It's like a commemorative torch. And every runner, from what I understand, gets to keep their torch.
That is my understanding, too. That's one of the benefits, I suppose, of getting to have to do all the running.
Well, Kendall, thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
Line open, 800-933-5372. Maxine writes to anything at kera.org that they actually have several flames that travel with the torch. The extra flames are inside canisters. And she adds, before they put the torch onto the plane, they extinguish the flame, I guess, on the torch. And once they disembark the flight, they relight it from one of the extra flames. It's anything you ever wanted to know, and you can call us at 800-933-5372. If you have trouble getting through this hour, you can email us. Your questions and answers are welcome at anything@kera.org. We'll be right back. It's anything you ever wanted to know from KERA 90.1 in Dallas, Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Our email address is anything@kera.org. And Teresa, a listener and supporter, thanks Teresa, says the ratio for hummingbird food should be one part sugar to four parts water. She says, heat water to boiling, turn off the heat and pour in the sugar, mix it until it's dissolved, and cool it before putting it in the feeder. Store leftover mixture in the fridge. It should be kept for only a few days to 1 week, so make it in small batches to reduce the chances of bacteria growing. No color additive is needed. Also, she says, make sure you clean the feeder thoroughly before replenishing. And our assistant producer, Brandilyn Barnett, has informed me during the break, my math was wrong. Well, I never purported to be a math genius, for sure. And 4 parts water to 1 part sugar, it's 20% sugar. So that's why I majored in English. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk to Laura in Colleyville. Hello, Laura. Are you there, Laura?
Hello.
Yes.
I'm here.
Go right ahead.
Hello. My question.
Yes, hello, Laura. Go right ahead.
Yes. If you donate a car to one of those organizations that say, donate your car to us.
Right.
And do they keep the car or do they sell it? And if they sell it, do they auction it off? And how much of the money do they actually get to keep and give to the child that they claim they're helping?
I have, I won't even try to answer that question, but someone will have an answer for you.
Okay, great.
Right. Hey, thanks
very
much for calling.
Thank you very much. Bye.
800-933-5372. Up next is Tom in Arlington. Hello, Tom.
Yeah, there was a question about why the Brits don't use the word "the" in front of words like hospital.
Yes.
And the reason is American English is unique. We use "the" in front of words like hospital and some other places because of we have linguistic groups, the roots that go into German and Dutch. And in those languages, the definite article or the word "the" is used much more often than in British English. Like, for instance, if you want to say Switzerland in German, you say "die Schweiz" or "the Switzerland." America was colonized by Dutch and German immigrants as well as the British. So this Germanic use came into the language really early, like in places like New York, which was then called New Amsterdam, and Pennsylvania, and it just stuck. And the Brits began to drop the definite article centuries ago, and we just never did. And we still use it sometimes in places like the Netherlands or
right.
the Ukraine and stuff like that.
Where the Hague.
Not exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Tom.
Okay.
All right. Line open, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Sean writes another suggestion for the hot railing. This is for Sue in Springtown. He says, tell Sue to get a new or used soaker hose. Cut the tips off and slit the side of the soaker hose lengthwise. Slide the hose over the hot railing. He suggests that you get a son, nephew, or other family member to help if you can. You can get a soaker hose, he says, at the Springtown Building Center. I guess maybe he really... He says, and tell her go Pogo Power or Pojo Power from a former Springtown police officer. I assume that Sue will know what that means. 800-933-5372. Up next is Scott in Little Elm. Hello, Scott.
Yeah, Scott from Little Elm, answering the question on the antennas on the side of the highway and on the around the cameras and all. Those are for radio frequency identification systems.
Okay.
The ones around the camera. And they read your toll tag. If they're on the tollway, obviously, it reads your toll tag.
Sure.
And some of the systems, I suspect the ones on the toll, I'm not a specialist on that system, but I am on the tollway and other types of RFID. But the ones on the highway definitely are for reading your toll tag. The ones on the pole probably are what's called a TIM system, traffic information management system. What it does, it just reads a toll tag. It doesn't associate it with a name or anything. It just reads a number and says, that's a toll tag. I recognize that tag or that number. Or let me back up. I recognize a number. And then there'll be another antenna on down the road a little bit further. And it basically predicts the speed of traffic as you're going down the highway.
So is that how they get the travel time to 6:35 and 75, 8 minutes?
That is correct.
Wow. So it's actually reading those, even if you're not on the tollway, those readers are reading your toll tag info and kind of keeping tabs on you.
Yeah, and
our paranoid friends would say.
Yeah, well, that's the reason why, and that's everywhere. It's not Big Brother watching you, because just in a few places. And it's possible the antennas on the side of the road are used for other reasons also, but it is radio frequency, and it's most likely, if it's a little square, about 13 by 13 or 21 by, I forget the other size, antenna, it's most likely a 915 megahertz antenna that's reading.
Very good.
Tag.
Scott, thanks very much.
You're welcome very much.
Up next is Alfonso in Fort Worth. Hello, Alfonso.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine.
I just wanted to ask you, is there any place where to get not very expensive solar panels to power a house?
In the Dallas-Fort Worth area?
In the Dallas-Fort Worth area, yes.
Let's ask and see if we get a couple of suggestions for you.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, a really good show. Thank
hey,
you.
Thank you very much. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's see. Chock full. This is from Paul in Dallas. Originally seems to come from choke full, meaning full to the point of choking. Paul also says that I said 25%. And it would be 20% sugar on the hummingbird feeder. But he says it's a common mistake and that I seldom make them. So thanks, Paul. Chock full from Kevin. He says, you should find a copy of the Browser's Dictionary compiled by the late John Ciardi. He defines chock full as nautical, describes the situation of a two-block tackle when the two blocks have been drawn together, permitting no further purchase. Hence, chock-a-block full means filled to the maximum, and so chock-full is absolutely full. And Buster suggests paint your iron rails white, and that will maybe reflect the light or the heat energy. He says a chock is a block to keep a car from rolling. Chock-full could be a load too big for the chalk to hold. I love this show. 800-933-5372. Let's talk to Bill in Fort Worth. Hello, Bill.
There was a question a little while ago regarding Marty's chicken salad and where you could find it. It is a you can get it at the M&O Subway Grill. And the M&O, it's named after the Subway that they had leading into the old Leonard's Department Store in Fort Worth.
Okay. The M&O Subway Grill, where is that?
And, well, it's in between West 7th Street and White Settlement, where you turn into, go into the redevelopment of the old Montgomery Wards.
Okay.
And it's in between those two, White Settlement and 7th Street. And it was it's established and owned and by Marty Leonard, and she is the daughter of Marvin Leonard, who founded Leonard's Department Store here in Fort Worth.
Very good. Thanks very much, Bill.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
800-933-5372. A couple of answers. Adam in North Richland Hills says, I've had good luck selling gold on Craigslist and eBay. Why did I say that? On eBay. Just be sure. I'm sitting here reading, you know, and it happens sometimes. Just be sure you can prove the gold content, he suggests. Sandy in Carrollton says, in regards to the definite article in front of hospital, etc., she says, if you think about it, we do not use the in front of school. For example, I'm going to school. I suspect it is a shorthand. That is, if I were to say she went to Parkland Hospital, the is not used. Thus, one might say she went to hospital, meaning a specific hospital, and dropping the word Parkland. That's a good point. And one more on this use of the definite article. From Maggie, there are many American versions of the same occurrence of not using the article the before a noun, like school or university or hospital. We say, I'm going to school and not I'm going to the school. And she also adds, you're going to church, not you are going to the church. And Maggie in Fort Worth, not listening on the sly at work because it took the day off, says it's a matter of habit. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Let's talk next to Ryan in Addison. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, during your fundraising drive this last week and the week before, mm-hmm. You guys never mentioned that you received federal benefits or that the government gave you, I guess, tax breaks.
Sure we did. We mentioned the Corporation for Public Broadcast portion of our budget, like probably every hour, if not five or six times an hour.
Really?
Yeah, because it makes up less than 10% of the budget for the station. So it's not a whole lot.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it was decreased in the year of 07, and I just wondered, has it increased, or is it just always that 10%?
It's the KERA CPB, Corporation for Public Broadcast grant, has stayed about the same relative to the percentage of the station's budget.
Okay.
So, when we go into the membership campaign, we get all kinds of briefings on, how much is the station's budget made up of by contributions of listeners. And it's been about 53% of the budget. We try to be as precise as we can be.
Yeah.
And so the CPB grant has been between 8 and 10% of what this station spends to bring you all the public radio programs you hear for the last couple of years. But I don't. But I don't know I don't know if it's been more dollars or less dollars. But the percentage of what we spend has been about the same.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a great answer, and I appreciate your show.
Sure thing. Thanks very much.
Have a good day.
800-933-5372. Up next is Sid in Weatherford. Hello, Sid.
Yes. Hello. I was wondering. I have a problem with copperhead snakes, and I was wondering if the methods of extraction, whether I have to do that physically using some sort of a gasoline fumes like they use when they go on these rattlesnake roundups, or if there is a bait or a poison that I can put out that they'll take and actually then die, or if there are other methods of extraction.
Where are the snakes, Sid?
They're in on the hillside on Lake Home on Granbury.
Okay. I would just say before you do anything, you might want to just consult with a wildlife removal specialist, because we've had questions before about these kinds of things, snakes under the house or raccoons in your attic or possums under your house, et cetera. And the best advice that we've gotten on the show is there are people who specialize in removing harmful or, house injurious wildlife invaders, from squirrels to possums to snakes. And if you just look online and see if you can find a Dallas-Fort Worth area wildlife removal, you'll probably find a couple of companies.
Great. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Okay. This is from Mark. Came in earlier this week. And Mark says, he writes, I hear a familiar female voice whenever I call American Airlines and work through the auto attendance system. The other day I called Lenovo, I guess it's another company, and heard the same voice. People are often famous for their performances, and I'm curious if the woman doing these recordings is now or is becoming a celebrity. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Ed in Mississauga says, with Texas being so celebrated for oil, I thought if anyone would know this question, it would be the audience of Anything You Ever Wanted to Know. With all the oil that has ever been pumped out of the ground around the world, can that be compared or contrasted to the volume of... Can you compare or contrast that volume of crude oil to the volume of the water in the Great Lakes? He says, I live around the Great Lakes and realize their immense sizes. Knowing how much oil the world has pumped versus the water in these lakes would allow me to visualize just how much oil the world has used. Call us, 800-933-5372. It's a math problem. I won't even begin to wade in. Let's see. Dan in Haltom City writes, how do I request information that is available to the police about me? He says, I think that the government, in all its various forms, is required to give me this information on request with proof of ID. Call us, 800-933-5372. And John at anything@kera.org writes, I live in Fort Worth. Is there a website that lists actual real estate sales by local area, for example, by zip code? Call us, 800-933-5372. Up next is Linda in Austin. Hello, Linda.
Hi. I have an answer for the car donation.
For the car donation question?
Yes.
Okay.
I donated a car a couple months ago, and I inquired about that before I donated it, and in fact, they do take it to an auction, And then usually the money that they receive from that goes to the foundation. It doesn't actually go directly to the child. It goes to the foundation, and then they decide what to do with it.
Very good. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Right.
Let's talk next to Roger in Burleson. Hello, Roger.
Hello, Jeff. On the question, the lady with the hot hand railing, if she would just do something as simple as paint the hot hand railing white, then it would no longer be hot.
Okay. And that's two votes for white.
Yes. Well, it would definitely work. Go touch a hot black car in the sun.
Right,
touch
sure.
A white car, and it's cool.
Yep.
And also the snake problem. I've heard that there is a product called Snake Away that they sell at garden centers and places like that, and I've heard people say that it works quite well. Now, whether it's a catch-all for all snakes, I don't know, but worth a try.
Very good. Thanks, Roger. Mm-hmm. And let's see. Gabrielle writes, I was looking through a home that was for sale one time, and they had wrapped their iron railings in rope. This could be a cheap way to keep the heat down. And let's see, an answer to the Lawrence, Kansas recycling question. I can't believe sometimes the answers we get. Jennifer in Dallas says, I lived in Lawrence for several years, and one of the best places to drop off recycling is the Community Recycling Center at Walmart. There is a list of what you can drop off there, drop off hours, and other recycling centers at Lawrence Recycles, all one word, Lawrence Recycles. org. Thanks very much, Jennifer. Before we go to the break, let's take a quick call from Mike in Hearst. Hello, Mike.
Yes, Jeff. I have a question and an answer, actually.
Okay.
My question is, cars are measured in horsepower, and I was wondering if that actually had anything to do with horses to begin with.
Okay.
And
so
what
is one horsepower? What does that really mean?
Yeah, if there's a certain unit of measurement
sure.
that they go by.
Sure. Great question.
And the answer for the snakes, I've used mothballs for years. For some reason, I grew up where there was lots of copperheads. And copperheads just don't like the smell or whatever mothballs put off. But I've used them for years, and I've never had a problem
that,
with them.
That works for pretty much any living creature, probably.
Yeah, I mean, if you sprinkle them around wherever you need to go. I mean, granted, if you have dogs or cats, you need to be careful with that kind of stuff. But
great.
If mothballs get rid of snakes.
Well, thanks very much for your call, Mike.
Uh-huh.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. I'm looking up horsepower, and we'll be right back after a quick break. It's anything you ever wanted to know on KERA 90.1 in Dallas-Fort Worth, Denton. I'm Jeff Whittington. Our telephone number is 800-933-5372. Our email address is anything at kera.org. And in the last week, not only did we close the books on the last membership campaign you're going to hear on this radio station until next fall. That's right. We hit the $400,000 goal on Tuesday evening. The drive stopped immediately, as promised. But we also launched a brand new KERA.org. If you go to the KERA website, it's going to look shiny and new and lots of great photographs. As a matter of fact, new photographs of all the staff. It's really well organized. And there's a new Anything You Ever Wanted to Know page. And we've actually been updating the pages with some of the questions and some of the answers that you are giving us. Who'd have thunk it? So check that out while you're there. You can subscribe to the free Anything You Ever Wanted to Know podcast. The audio for the last 10 hours of show is available to you absolutely free. So check that out at kera.org. Now, before the break, we had a question about horsepower. Oh, and before I read that, you can actually download each show right from the KERA website. This is a new thing, too. kera.org/audio/anything. So you can see the last 10 episodes right there, and you can click on it, download the MP3. It's very, very easy. So check it out, kera.org/audio/anything. And now, horsepower. And again, I've consulted the Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, 11th edition. And according to this, horsepower is the power, first definition, the power that a horse exerts in pulling. Well, that's obvious. And two, a unit of power equal in the U.S., to 746 watts and nearly equivalent to the English gravitational unit of the same name that equals 550 foot-pounds of work per second. So there you go. 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Steve in Dallas. Hello, Steve.
Hey, the mothball thing is definitely the way to go for the snakes. And the other question I had was when you go into the subway place to eat, they have pictures of those old subway stations underneath New York from like 1890, and I was wondering if any of those tunnels are still around and if any of the cars are still around or if they've bulldozed all that to make the construction for the new stuff.
Well, we'll ask.
All right.
All right. Thanks, Steve. 800-933-5372. Up next is Daniel in Dallas. Hello, Daniel.
Yes. A lady had a question about the charities, and another person had something about public data. If you do a search or go like charitynavigator.org or .com, you can look up most charities, and they can give you the ratios and percentages, and they give them a rating of how well they spend their budget or
whatnot. Yeah, like how much does it cost to raise a dollar, et cetera.
Right. Like some people spend 50% of the budget on administration and advertising, and then like 20% actually goes to the people that they're raising it for.
Right.
And then you can go to like publicdata.org and pay a small fee and look up just about anybody's information.
Very good.
Or choice point.
All right. Thanks very much, Daniel.
Thanks.
All right. Line open 800-933-5372. A couple of emails from early in the show. Lee in Fort Worth writes, I am seeking a reasonably priced alternative to Old Spice shaving soap refill bars for the shaving mug. He says, unless someone is sitting on a stash of genuine Old Spice shaving soap, which they stopped producing about 10 years ago, and is willing to let go of some for less than the price of gold, please help me with an alternative. Bill in Highland Village writes, the government has mandated that corn be used to produce a large quantity of ethanol. He says, I assume this is a subsidy. How much money and volume of ethanol and to whom? Let's see. This is a question we asked a couple of weeks ago. Darwin in Dallas says, within the last several weeks, I've noticed railroad cars parked on the railroad tracks on the east side of I-35 in Louisville. This is just north of FM 407. He says they've been there long enough to start getting graffiti on them. Does anyone know why they are just parked there? And Karen, writing from somewhere in the area, is wondering, how do DJs decide what to play? Do they have a playlist lined up the day before? And is this something they have to follow, like a slow song after a fast song, et cetera? Is this something they learn in school? I have no idea. Call us, 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. I don't know. You want to chime in on that, Jeannie? You have thoughts on that? How do DJs decide what songs to play? You've got music radio experience.
Well, yeah, it just depends on the song, how it's related, maybe an artist who sounds like it.
Right.
All kinds of reasons, really. The mood.
Do commercial radio stations have a pretty ironclad playlist and you have to go down the list, or do they?
Pretty much.
Okay.
From what I remember.
Okay.
It's very set in stone.
The great Jeannie Mascoro, folks.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Jeannie. You can call us with your answer to that question, 800-933-5372. Let's talk next to Dan in Irving. Hello, Dan.
Hey, this is Ben, actually.
Oh, Ben, sorry.
That's okay. I'm a political science professor at DBU, and I have an answer for the vice presidential question that you had earlier.
Please.
What happened was that when they came up with the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, they didn't anticipate the fact that there was going to be political parties. So what they did is the runner-up to president would become vice president. And, of course, this created a problem when you had a somebody from a different party who was vice president and would pretty much politically snipe the president. So,
right.
What they did is they came up with the 12th Amendment, which says that the electors, we elect our president by electoral college, the elector would have two ballots, one for president and one for vice president, thereby being able to elect a vice presidential candidate of the same party. And now, since the late 19th century, they just put it all on one ballot, and that's why we vote for president and vice president on one ticket, because the presidential parties pretty much package them now, since they can vote for them
right
at the same time.
Very good, Dan. Ben, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
All right, sorry I got your name wrong too.
No problem.
Sometimes it's hard to hear in the studio.
No problem.
Let's talk next to Catton in Addison. Hello, Catton.
Hi, how are you? I love your show.
Oh, thanks very much.
I recently read about an indoor ski facility that is up and operational in Dubai, and several people have mentioned that there's one potentially coming in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I wanted to find out if you or your listeners had anybody heard about it.
I read something about that, and they had a bunch of investors and were looking into it, but I don't know where it – I mean, there was an article in the Dallas Morning News probably several months ago about it, but – from what I understand, it's on the table or on the drawing boards, but someone will call or email us with more up-to-date information than that.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. 800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. And Mike in Dallas says, just west of downtown Dallas on I-30, the streetlights have never been on in the 12 years I have lived here. Does anyone know why? He says, also, my parents live in northern Wisconsin, and many people up that way, they sort of jumpstart their hummingbird feeders with a 3-to-1 ratio, which would be 25% sugar, to attract the birds, and then cut it back to a 4-to-1 ratio once the hummingbirds start coming regularly. So that might be a suggestion for you. Let's see. Dawn in Kingwood, who says, I used to live in Keller and listen to KERA, now listen online from the Houston area. Why does the thunder seem so loud here? Dawn says, I grew up in the Midwest, and thunderstorms were as much a part of spring and summer as mosquitoes are here, but for some reason, the thunder just seems so much louder and closer. She asks, does it have something to do with the elevation of Texas? Let's see. Luan wants to make shave ice to sell this summer and wants to know where to buy block ice in the Dallas-Plano area. There's got to be some place. Ronald wants to know, in the wake of the story about the girl in Ohio who texted her mom about burglars, he says, I wonder if it's possible to send a text message to 911, and if you do, will they receive it? I have no idea. Call us, 800-933-5372. That'd be a great question to get an answer to. Let's talk to Carla in Cleburne next. Hello, Carla.
Hello. I'm calling regarding what is called mud swallows or barn swallows.
Okay.
Every spring, I am bombarded, and they make their nest right over the front door, on the patio, over the patio table. I've tried.
So you're literally bombarded.
I really am.
Right.
I've tried everything short of going out with a scatter gun.
Okay.
I've tried the plastic owls. I've tried various sprays of usually cleaning, you know, Lysol, strong-smelling things, which dissipate very rapidly. Does anyone know how to discourage these little guys?
Well,
they're beautiful little birds, but they have made my life quite miserable.
Well, let's ask.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much. Carla.
Bye.
800-933-5372. Email anything at kera.org. Stuart says, Jeff, 1 horsepower equals 748 watts. 1 watt is 1 joule per second. 1 joule is 1 newton meter. He says, ISO measurement standards are the greatest. Chris says, the Great Lakes, all in total, contain approximately 6 quadrillion gallons of water. Global oil consumption in 2007, he writes, was roughly 85 million barrels per day. 85 million barrels times 365 days is roughly 31 billion. Well, it's 31 billion, 25 million barrels per year. 1 barrel of oil equals 42 gallons. So 31 billion times 42 gallons is 1,303,000,000,000 gallons of oil. So he says, so 1 year of oil is well short of the total volume of water in the Great Lakes. He says even 50 years of oil at that consumption rate, which hasn't been the consumption rate the whole time, at that consumption rate comes nowhere close to the volume of the Great Lakes. Thanks very much, Chris. Appreciate that very much. Let's see if we can get a couple more calls in before we run out of time. Let's talk to Aubrey in Dallas. Hello, Aubrey.
Hi. How are you?
Doing fine.
I live in an apartment in Dallas, and my lease is up in December, and I have just recently got a contract to move to Arizona and was wondering, does this allow me to break my lease without having to pay a relenting fee? And that's my question.
So you just want to know what the easiest way to get out of your lease is?
Well, I'm hearing from some friends that because I have a contract and that Texas actually allows renters that ability to break their lease.
Okay. Well, if we probably won't get an answer today, but tune in next week at noon, and we'll see if we get an answer for you over the weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Let's talk to Art in Carrollton. Hello, Art.
Yeah, I've got a question about, first of all, the mothballs work for the snakes.
Okay.
Secondly, about honeybees. I've got honeybees, and I've called around, and everybody wants to charge me for the removal of honeybees. And since there's a honeybee shortage, it seems to me that the honeybee people want to come get me.
I think there's a Dallas Beekeepers Association.
They'll charge me $110 to come get them.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had a friend who had a beehive in sort of the sprinkler system control box in their yard, and a beekeeper came and got it, and just took it away, no problem. He wanted the bees.
Come get one about 5 years ago, and he cut the tree, the section out of the tree,
right.
And just went away, and it was like no biggie. And now they're wanting to charge me.
How did you find that beekeeper?
Dallas Zoo.
Okay.
But they don't no longer have any contact,
okay.
So I don't know what to do.
Well, I think you've probably called a pretty good place. We'll see if we get some answers for you, and we'll try to lead off the show with that next week.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Art.
Bye.
800-933-5372. Couple more calls maybe if we can squeeze them in. Hello, John in Dallas.
Hey. couple answers maybe or suggestions. Guy with a snake problem. If he lives out in the country and doesn't mind the work, the best thing to keep snakes away is chickens.
Oh, okay.
Because get 3 chickens and
right.
They eat up all the worms, and they also eat up, all the baby snakes, so it really controls that snake population.
And you know what, John, we got an email from Josh who suggested the same thing, so thanks for that suggestion.
The lady with the hot hand railing, I don't know what color it is, and I don't know how much she's wanting to spend, but there's a cheaper version of that rhino lining.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really thick kind of rubbery paint, and it only comes in black, I think, but that stuff really does keep the heat off anything metal.
Okay.
And I think it's maybe like $20 a gallon or something.
Okay.
I know she doesn't need that much, but I think you can find it about any auto parts store.
Very good.
All righty.
John, thanks very much.
Have a good day.
All right, you too. Anything you ever wanted to know is produced by yours truly. Engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Thanks, Jeannie. Fiona Norton answered the phones today. Thank you, Fiona. Brandilyn Barnett helped out. We also had help from today, at the beginning of the show especially, from Lyle Hathaway and Justin Martin. So thanks to all of you for helping out. Thanks very much to you for listening and for participating. And don't forget, if you have questions you couldn't get in or answers to anything you heard today, you can email us at anything@kera.org. While you're online, why not check out the brand new KERA.org and the brand new, kind of shiny and new, Anything You Ever Wanted to Know page at KERA.org/anything. You can sign up for the free weekly podcast of the show there. And, of course, if you have questions, thoughts, answers, anything, you can email us, anything@KERA.org. Once again, I'm Jeff Whittington. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great weekend.